Welcome back to The Working Week with me, Ben Askins, the show where we take challenging problems in working life and find out exactly what is going on and see if there's anything we can do to help. The goal of this show really is to basically make sure you hate work that little bit less, basically. And that's very appropriate for today's topic, because today we're going to be looking at how to essentially know if you hate your job and also if it's a problem and whether there are any solutions with which you can use to kind of make yourself feel that little bit better about it. And I'm going to start off by talking about the problem itself, because I hate my job is a much more familiar refrain than you might realize. So it's being described as the silent epidemic, and basically it is affecting 85% of global workers who say that they hate their job. 85%. So only 15%. And bear in mind, we're talking about 1 billion full-time workers on the planet. We reckon only 15% of them like what they do. And that's absolutely ridiculous. And look, straight away, right, I think it's worth taking with a pinch of salt, in the sense of there is always a natural inclination to resent or feel some sort of like dislike towards something you're kind of having to do, basically. In the sense of, as humans, by nature, we don't really like being told what to do. We always feel slightly resentful towards it, and a job is very much in that category, in the sense that basically you kind of have to do it. And I think the best comparison I can give to that is I absolutely love reading. Like, have done it all my life, like devour books, mostly sort of historical fiction and fantasy books and things like that, but I always have, like, since a very, very early age. And yet I absolutely hated being told by my English teachers at school which books to read. Never did it, and I've never quite understood the psyche behind why I did that. But it's true, right? You just inevitably end up in a situation where anything you're being told what to do, you're going to feel slightly resentful, and that can lead to the word kind of hatred, which is strong, right? It's probably worth defining what we mean by hate as well. But it is worth thinking about, like, if that fact is even remotely true. 81,396 hours, that's on average how many hours you'll work in your lifetime, and that is one third of your life. That is one third of your life spent at work. So if we are in a situation where people really dislike their job or hate their job, it is worth looking to see if there are any actual potential solutions of how you can make yourself feel better. And we actually put out a bit of a blast and asked a few people if you are in that category, and if so, what it is that you do hate about your job. And some of them are really interesting, as this first one clarifies nicely.
People. I just hate entitled people. I legitimately love my job. I hate shitty people.
That's an absolute classic, that one. And the reason why it's so sad and why it's so frustrating that so many people have that as the main reason is because nothing ruins a good job quicker than either like a toxic boss or a toxic colleague or someone you just really can't get on with or who makes your life miserable. And it really does ruin the job. That's the really sad bit. There are lots of people who say, I love my job, but, or I used to love my job, but. And it's the but is always a person. Like, it really, really is. And so you just end up in this really sad situation where lots of people would love, like, really do love their career and what they do and get a real sense of purpose and pride out of it, and it's just ruined by people they work with. And it's, again, it's that classic, right? You often don't have any control over that, unless you're in a position of seniority where you can let people go or fire toxic people. You kind of get stuck with it, and this is doubly so if your boss is that person, because my work can that make your working life absolutely shocking. But I think this next one is almost just as popular, if not a little bit more so.
Since January, my company have had a mandatory policy for us to be in the office 3 days a week. This is actually strangely monitored by a access card tracking system, so effectively you have to do it because it's on the system. Unfortunately, my team are based far and wide across the country, so ultimately it results in me sitting on my own doing Teams calls in the office on my own for 3 days a week. Not the best use of resources, as I'm sure everyone can appreciate, but I suppose the people who pay for these buildings need to justify it somehow.
Isn't that just pointless? Like, isn't that pointless? Like, most people know, right? I'm actually a big believer in flexible working, in the sense you have some days in the office and some days work from home. But the days in the office have to be in the same office. Otherwise, this is completely and utterly redundant. Like, what is the point in someone going into work and sitting on their own and having to have Teams calls? Like, that's just obviously practical. Because also, like, it's actually more inconvenient in every sense of the word. So the idea that you're commuting to basically actually sit on your own is absolutely wild. And I can totally see why that makes you hate your job. And it's just like, this is the problem, right, with companies so often is so, and it's probably the same with like political parties and just general things. It's like too often people take a sledgehammer to something where a scalpel will do much more effectively. And it's always under the guise of, oh, we can't be unfair to other people. It's like, it's not really about that. It's about setting yourself up for success. Like, you have your team, they have different requirements. It's okay to set things up slightly differently in order to get the best out of individuals. Because some people, don't forget, right, really need an office. Like, this is the bit people always forget about flexible working is, if you are someone who thrives, who needs that routine, who just needs to get out of the house to kind of keep a clear head and likes the idea of not working in their house and actually going to a place of work to work, that's okay to do as well. Do you see what I mean? This is what I mean by flexible working. It's not either or. It's by definition, you kind of get the choice. But I feel so sorry for this bloke, because what on earth are you meant to say to that? Because obviously the whole purpose, the whole sort of pitch of why people should be in the office and working from home is because of the collaboration and the teamwork. And I get that, right? I buy the culture element. It's why I like flexible work. It's why I have my team come into the office a couple of days a week. But it's on those same days so we can actually build a culture and work collaboratively together. It's not, oh, you come in on Monday and you come in on Tuesday and we'll just Zoom call each other from the office. I mean, what a complete and utter waste of time. And the final example of reasons why people really hate their jobs at the moment, and you can see, right, there's a huge variety going on. But the final one that got sent in is this one, which is also a classic, and then I want to go into the solutions of exactly why this is.
The one thing I hate most about my job is the directors seem to think that we have all the free time in the world, and they assume that we will happily drop everything that we're working on just to fulfill whatever they need done that day and to be done instantly.
Not knowing work requirements. This is one as old as time. Like, a lot of problems, right, has kind of been fueled by social, digital, internet. This one isn't. This one's, I would say, you could go back as far as you like and you could find issues with this particular one. And basically, it comes down to kind of trust of your boss and your manager. And the reason why this is important is because there's only two reasons why, if you are as a boss or manager giving work that can't actually be done in the day. And that's really frustrating, right? It means you literally, as the person receiving the work, you literally can't get it done. So you straight away know you're being set up for failure, right? And that can be pretty demoralizing, okay? If you're sitting there actually caring about your job and wanting to do good work and do your best, it's pretty demoralizing if you are straight off the bat never going to be able to achieve what you need to do. But the reason why people get so frustrated and why it kind of causes hatred, and it is a strong word, right? But it's kind of in the title, so I have to keep using it. But the reason why it causes so much hatred is because it basically means two things. Either the manager's incompetent because they don't have a feel for how much work is required at the moment, and so they just kind of lose the trust of their team, or they're just kind of even worse, they're sort of quite malevolent in the sense of they know they can't do it but give it anyway and kind of really set up their team for failure. But either way, it's idiotic. Either way, that's terrible management, and it's terrible management for them. That's the bit that always frustrates me, is because no matter what happens at this point, your team fundamentally do not trust you as a manager, which means you won't be getting their best work, you won't be getting them at the most productive, and your entire success for your job as the manager is dependent on your team doing good stuff. So it's a completely redundant policy straight off the bat. So those kind of three are the ones we picked out. There are a lot. Thank you so much for those who sent in, by the way. Please do keep sending stuff like this in, because it really does help us shape the content and the episodes. And by the way, if you're at it and you've got this far, please do give this a like and a subscribe. It really does mean the world, and it really helps support the channel as well. And I'm just going to give that little plug there. But it is worth thinking about your job, because is it that you hate every single part, or is it much more likely there are bits you like and bits you don't? The Guardian had a headline the other day which kind of worked quite nicely. It's the big idea of why it's okay not to love your job. And I think it's important, right? Because love is, you know, love we hold sort of for, you know, some of our favorite things in the world. And it's unlikely your job is going to appear on. That is great. If you are one of those few lucky people, that is absolutely amazing. But we have to be realistic, right? It's okay to just be like, I quite like my work. I quite like my colleagues. Yes, a few things are an absolute pain in the ass. But overall, like, I'm pretty content, you know, with what I do and how much I make and all of that sort of stuff, right? Every job, even the, and this is important to sort of recognize, I guess, even the happy, if you find the happiest person in the world in regards to like how they approach their job, the person who loves their job more than anything in the world, there will still be parts of it they really don't like, right? There's no such thing as an absolutely perfect job. Even the ones that people who really love their job don't like or even hate certain parts of it. And I very much count myself in the camp of someone who's enjoyed their career and feel very fortunate because of that. But absolutely, I could point to moments and weeks and months where I was absolutely miserable. And yet overall, I would say I really love my job and love my career. And I think think that's the point to kind of bear in mind. Like, when we sort of talk about, do you hate your job? Often it can kind of depend on the week you get asked. Like, it could be if you're off the back of one of the worst weeks you've ever had. And a good example, right? One of my closest friends in the world, he's an accountant. You know, he likes some of it. He doesn't like kind of it. But there was one point he got sent out to like a town in England and he had to audit gravel. I mean, he likes to say it wasn't just gravel. It was like sand and gravel and other sort of sediments. But at that point, if you're being that pedantic about that sort of stuff, I feel like you've lost the argument anyway. So like at that point, if I asked him, like, do you love your job? He would have said, no, I resoundingly hate it. But overall, he probably would come out in the green and say, no, I overall like my job. So I do think it's important to kind of recognize that depending on when you ask someone really does make a difference, especially when it comes to who your boss is, who your colleagues are and things like that. But social media is to blame for this as well. If I was to ask, like, why so many more people seem to hate their job, because like I said, some of this stuff is absolutely classic, stuff that we can all recognize. If I was to kind of point at one of the main reasons why, social media is absolutely to blame. And it starts off with like kind of how much people are sort of hating on the 9-to-5. And this Reddit post summarized it quite nicely for me. It said, recent social media trends seem to bash people that have 9-to-5 jobs and are not millionaires by 30. And that's just sad and unrealistic. There is absolutely nothing wrong with a secure 9-to-5 job that treats you well. And I think that's such an important message. That's such an important message. This sort of setting up of failure where, and look, here's the big secret. So from one content creator to people who may be content creators, who may not, who may be thinking about it. And look, you have a lot of fun doing it, don't get me wrong. The vast majority of people who brag about how much money they make are not making the money they make. Like, honestly, the people, and I happen, you know, I'm fortunate enough to know a lot of entrepreneurs who make serious money. The ones who make serious money do not feel any inclination to tell anyone how much they earn because they're not that insecure. So if you're seeing people talk about saying screenshots and all that sort of stuff, I promise you the vast, vast, vast majority of that stuff is all complete nonsense. I really do mean that. Please take like reassurance from that, because I do think it's really important to recognize that the rise of social, of this sort of like, and it's always 10K. There's two numbers that don't do my head in around this, right? Firstly, people always bang on about having you have to make 10 grand a month. Bear in mind, if you make 5 grand a month, you're one of the top percentage of the earners in the country. So straight away, like, come on. And so the second is, I'm going to grow my business to 100 million. You go, why is it always 100? I've never quite sort of got my head around it. Those are the two numbers I see more than any others. And what I would say to that is, like I say, A, most of it's complete nonsense. And two, it's so important you don't kind of compare yourself, especially to compare yourself to lies. But even if it is true, like, don't compare yourself to that. Like, it's so important to recognize that if you have a good job and that you earn, that you provide, you are a fundamental success. And I really think that's important. I really think social media, this sort of bashing of 9-to-5s and how if you're not your own boss, you're a loser, and if you're not a millionaire by X, Y, and Z, and if you've not got stock footage of a Lamborghini, then you're a sucker. Like, all this sort of stuff, it's so unhealthy, and it really draws away, because as in every part of social, it glamorizes the success and hides all the rubbish bits. But because people don't see the rubbish bits, they inevitably feel like they're kind of really, you know, failing when they're absolutely not. So I think it's so important to sort of recognize that if you just broadly like your job, the grass is not always greener, and I think that's a fundamental message. And I think this next clip summarizes it really nicely.
Dude, what? No! I think it's because everyone thinks they're supposed to love their job, when in reality, you're supposed to hate your job less than all the other jobs. That's why I think you should do a work swap program with like an Uber Eats driver.
Exactly. I think that's a really good point. I think it's not a bad... Look, this is not the most sort of motivating message you'll ever hear from me, but I do think it's quite a realistic message. Like, if you just don't hate your job, I really would think about yourself as a winner. Because, and I think it's important to clarify what I mean by that, right? Because if you don't hate your job, it means there are genuine people that you like working with, you broadly like your boss, you broadly like the work that you do, you get some sort of sense of accomplishment from it. That's really good, right? And of course, it's good to have goals and push yourself, and we're going to come on to solutions in a sec. But I really do think like the comparison that people make to their own careers to what they see on social media, despite the fact that most things you see on social media truly are complete horseshit. Like, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. The problem with that is you never you end up comparing yourself negatively, and I think that's fueling people not liking their job. So like, how to not hate your job? And look, solution one, and it always sounds a bit harsher than it's meant to, but like, solution one kind of is just sort of like just accepting that there are parts of a job that you don't like. There's a headline which I think is a bit harsh, but it kind of gets the point across. It says, most people hate their jobs, get over it. And I think it kind of ties back into the point of, look, we all have responsibilities, right? We all have bills to pay, unless you're sort of like a trust fund baby. Like, you just, most people have some sort of responsibilities in the sense of, I have to to bring on a certain amount of income, at the very least, to kind of mitigate my responsibilities, whether that's family, rent, bills, whatever it might be, right? So I think it's okay to have that slight realistic approach in the sense of, look, there are bits of this job I don't like, but actually focusing on the bits you do like and the bits, the progression perhaps, or what you want. And for me, the best way to kind of counteract that side of things is to kind of have a five-year plan. And what I mean by that is it's amazing how much more you're willing to tolerate, or at least even like start to enjoy more if it's sort of a means to an end. So one of the things I always try and do is every year I'll write out goals for what I want to accomplish. And that's of course like a range of different things. That's my personal ones, my health, the health one's always quite ambitious, you know, my work, whatever it might be. But I do set myself goals, and because of that, I do think that helps me enjoy my job more. So when I'm having tough times in the job, which happens in even the best jobs in the world, you kind of appreciate the fact that yes, this bit's a bit rubbish, but it is a means to an end. I do think that helps you enjoy your more. So I do think there's a mindset you can have. And for me, the best way around the mindset of I hate my job is write out the goals, and then it gives you a little bit more clarity and allows you to kind of suffer through that bit a little bit more. So for example, at a sort of basic level, if you said my goal is to build a side hustle out to £3,000 a month, you'll be much more able to tolerate your current job and hate it less whilst you're doing that, because you feel like you're working towards an end. The second solution is, I do think people just need to appreciate what other people have to go through as well. And like the thought I had, right, and this is a really silly thought, okay, and I know it's just not practical, but I would love this to happen. I really do think this would be such an amazing thing for a country to do for so many reasons. I think it would like make us all closer. I think it would all like appreciate each other a bit more. I think it would end a lot of like disagreements and conflict. I would just love to have like one national day where you basically swap jobs with someone. And look, I've got no idea. Like, this is me like literally talking off the cuff. So I don't know exactly how I would do this or the practicalities of how, because obviously straight away, right, you can't have people who are non-doctors or non-lawyers like doing that bit. So obviously you'd have, kind of have to like carve out specific occupations and things like that. But I do think it'd be so powerful and bring the country together so much. It's just one day a year, and maybe you could do it by city or something like that, where basically in some sort of lottery, you would swap jobs for a day with someone. I just think that would be amazing. And someone would do my job and I would go and do someone else's job and so on and so forth. And it would, look, let me just be very clear. It would be like, it would be complete anarchy. It would be complete chaos. Like, there's no way, you know, I know it just wouldn't happen, but wouldn't it be so wonderful if it would? I just think so much appreciation for what other people do. Like the amount of sort of people I see sort of bashing other occupations with absolutely zero idea of what said occupation does. I just think like so many roles which people don't even know exist. I think it would broaden your experience of what is out there. Just, you know, make you form like connections with different people from different walks of life. I just think there are so many good things that comes off it. So if anyone's sitting out there who has any idea how we can make that happen, I would love to hear from it, because I just think it'd be such a powerful day. A national swap a job for the day would just be so, so good. But like I said, perhaps it's not something that could happen, but I really, really would love if it could. The next rule in regards to kind of whether you hate your job or not is to kind of basically apply the 80-20 rule. Now, it's something you've probably heard me talk about a little bit more in slightly different context, but the 80-20 is called the Pareto's principle, and basically it comes down to the concept that approximately 80% of the effects of one thing comes from 20% of the causes. And so that's been applied in like lots of different ways. So for example, 80% of the wealth is owned by 20% of the population. 20% of the clients will often provide 80% of the revenue of a business, or 80% of the benefits of training come from about 20% of the exercise that you do, and so on and so forth. Like, it's basically that real sort of cause and effect, and a lot of people will spend their time like trying to focus on that 20%, because obviously you become a lot much more efficient as a person, as a business, as a team. But the 80-20 rule is basically saying that if 20% of the work actually provides some sort of enjoyment, that will make up for the fact of 80% of the work that is tedious and boring. So basically, if you 20% of the time are on sort of cloud nine, really enjoying it, whether that's being challenged, having a good time, working on exciting projects, doing cool stuff, that will basically, that's a good metric to whether to getting to a point to where you actually enjoy your job and not hate it. Because if you have that, you are likely to kind of be in that camp, which is kind of tragic when you think about it, because bear in mind, we sort of said that only 15% of people are in that camp. So basically what we're saying is 15% of the world's population only have 20% of the work that they actually like doing, which is pretty depressing when you kind of say that out loud. But I do think that's kind of relevant and something to bear in mind, because that way, that's a goal, right? Because again, going back to the realistic element, okay, your job's not going to be like Cinderella where you get dressed by birds in the morning, hearing music and sort of go and have the, you know, like that's not going to happen, right? We live in the real world. The real world is pretty tough sometimes, and that's going to impact all of us. And I think that's really important to always bear in mind. So like I said, if your goal is to love my job, I need to be happy 100% of the time, I'm just going to have to tell you now, you're going to be quite disappointed. However, what I am telling you is that if you are at a job where 20% of your job you really enjoy, that actually can often carry you through. And yes, of course, like I touched upon before, the big sort of exception of this rule seems to be if you have toxic people around you, they can really drag you down. But overall, like that is does seem to be something that works quite well. So that's something to really bear in mind, because that's something you could work on. Do you know what I mean? Like that's something you could really think about and say, actually, I reckon I like about 10%, which means I would actually like my job if I can double that. And so I'm having a think about how you can do that and the things you can move around to kind of make that work and talk to your boss about, I think could be really important. Which brings us on to the work-life balance bit. And this Reddit thread sets this argument out nicely. I'm in my early 50s now, and the takeaway for me from working full-time nearly 30 years is that very few people love their job. Most of us tolerate ours. A job is a means to an end, a means to earning a living. Save your passion for your free time and hobbies. And I think that's a really important message, right? Because if you don't love your job, and look, we've talked about love and hate, and these are quite strong words, right? Like and dislike might have been the better way to kind of carry it off. But if you dislike your job, but it allows you to do the things you love, I count that as a win, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, and obviously, like, you know, it goes back to the money and the elements, but like some jobs are super flexible, right? Some you might find incredibly boring, but allows you to work from home and kind of fulfill, gives you time with your family or your hobbies or your passions or whatever it might be. And so I do think you need to look at this as a package deal, because yes, we spend a lot of time at work, but if work or bits around work that you don't like enables you to do the bits you really, really love, I do think that's important, right? And it could be as simple as, you know, pays you enough to go, you know, see as many bands or, you know, music concerts. You can tell I don't do that very often. I don't know why I picked that as an option, but we'll plow on. As a sort of FYI, like one of my friends came back from Glastonbury and, you know, she was saying all the acts, you know, she liked, and I just didn't recognise any of them. I'm just feeling so out of touch on the music front. Not that I ever felt as a particular expert, but that is a massive segue. But I do think that's important, right? So looking things in a sort of really narrowed way, you can dislike your job, but because if it allows you to kind of have a really happy life, I think that has to be counted as a win as well. So I think that's really important. And like this is again from The Guardian, work-life balance was the highest ranking factor for staff for their current job or future jobs for 83% of the 26,000 workers surveyed across 35 countries. Like that's a punchy poll, right? That's a real breadth. So at that point you say, well, that means if you have a job that you hate when you actually do it, but it is a healthy work-life balance, that kind of moves it into the kind of love or the like category. And I do think that's important. And I think the final point I wanted to say, and I think this is where I'm going to weigh in and give my honest thoughts and what I would do if I was you. If you're sitting there thinking, I hate my job and Ben is talking absolute nonsense and these solutions are just absolutely just patching over a real, real problem, this is what I would say, right? Firstly, you need to define what you actually want. So this is my thought. So find a room, right? Really take yourself apart. Turn off all distractions. Don't have something playing in the background. Don't listen to music. Really, this is your moment for your thoughts, okay? And have a real think of what you actually want. You can be bold here. You can be broad. You can go for the gold here, okay? If you sit down for the next 5 years, say, right, 5 years time, what would I want to be doing? That's a really important exercise to do, because if you don't know, it's really hard to just throw that all at your job's feet. And what I mean by that is if you don't know what you want, it's going to be really hard for you to mentally get your head around that this job might be the right place for you. And I know I'm saying that in a really simplistic way, because there's of examples where people are just stuck and hating it for very legitimate reasons, right? But hear me out, like knowing what you want is the most important step, because that will actually allow you to start putting together a bit of a plan. Now, the one advantage that we have in this day and age, perhaps more than generations before us, and we've touched upon this as a negative already, is social media. And what I mean by that is it is absolutely possible to monetize pretty much any hobby in the world. I really do mean that. Like, absolutely every single hobby now has monetary potential because of content. Now, content is becoming increasingly easy to create. AI has absolutely supercharged it, and there is a lot of opportunity now, even if you don't want to be the person in front of the camera, to start creating amazing stuff. So my honest advice is if you really do hate your job and your plan doesn't allow you to just say work through it in the sense of, right, I hate this job, but I think I really enjoy the promotion the next one, so I'm just going to try and make sure that happens. Or I really love this job, but I hate the place I'm working, so I'm going to try and move on. Like, the obvious routes are important, but do that exercise to work out what you want. If you want to kind of carve out something brand new? How much do you want it, I guess, is my question, because you can side hustle this. And I know I hate that word as much as anyone else, right? It kind of cobbles together every sort of crypto finance bro in your head. I get that. But it is possible to monetize every single passion. And how amazing if in 5 years' time you sat there and said, I actually went for that and it paid off, right? Because, and this is the big secret, right? For all the sort of nonsense around 10,000 a month and all that sort of stuff, it doesn't take a huge amount of effort to earn £2,000-£3,000 a month on social, right? There's a variety of levers that you can pull on. There's a variety of ways that you can do it. And obviously it depends on each sector and what you're actually offering and all that sort of thing. But it's not the biggest, you know, if you posted every day or something, or posted regularly and put yourself in a bit of a mindset and really became quite disciplined about it, I think you'd be quite surprised with how easy it is to do that. And so that is something to bear in mind. And I think that's worth kind of thinking about. So I do think you need to incentivize yourself and really start to focus on which bits you don't like and what you actually want, and then really try and write a plan. And you can only be honest with yourself, right? Okay. And I know there are a lot of people out there who really are stuck through absolutely no fault of their own. I really do get that. But there is always something you can do, okay? And just starting to think about, so even just starting to think about it, you know, starting to plan it in your head can make yourself feel that little bit better. So I really would think about what you can do and how you can earn potentially outside of your job and see if that starts to make a difference for you. But overall, like it is sad that so many people don't like their job. Like, we are at work for so often, it does feel a bit of a shame that people are kind of sitting there like really disliking what they do. And so if there's anything I can do, like, please comment. And what I will say is, if you're someone who used to be in this position but now not, I think you're so valuable at this point. So please do leave a message for other people. If you used to hate your job but now don't, if you have any advice on how to kind of deal with that, please do leave that in the comments, because I think that'd be so helpful to people to read who are stuck in it right there and now. And obviously I can only give my honest thoughts, and I'm sure there are a lot of people with a lot smarter and more useful thoughts to share than me. So please do that. Otherwise, let me know if there are any other topics you want. We've got a special episode coming out next week looking at water companies, which I think is going to be really interesting. Otherwise, I will catch you all then. Thanks so much.